Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. Jay Posner, he's over here, sports editor of the Union Tribune. We're both in San Diego. That feels good. Headed to Petco Park for a playoff game. That feels good. Padres-Dodgers games 3 and 4. Blake Snell, Tony Gonsolin tonight. That's Friday as we tape this. Tomorrow, Joe Musgrove, hometown kid, in case you haven't heard, against Tyler Anderson. That would be game 4. Jake Peavy throwing out the first pitch tomorrow. My gosh, Jay, Padres are in much better shape than you thought they would be. When I say you, the greater you, than any of us thought they would be after game 1.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all said, and we said on here the other day, and by the way, good morning, Kevin. It's great to see you. Great to have you back in town. It's been a while, I know. Hey, you brought home victories. Isn't that the key? Everybody always says
it's up to you. You know, I know what I can do.
Big role that you played. And we should mention Kelsey Plum throwing out the first pitch tonight. A WNBA star, former number one overall pick, college star from La Jolla Country Day. So she throws out tonight. PV tomorrow. Should be fun. You know, we talked at the beginning before this series that I thought, at least, and I think you did too, this series was going to come down, at least in the early stages, to game 2. Padres were probably really up against it in game 1, which turned out to be the case. Even though I don't think Julio Urías was at his best, Mike Clevenger certainly was nowhere near his. And it was going to come down to game 2, and the Padres had Yu Darvish on the mound, and that's who you would want on the mound. And they were going to have to win that game or their season was basically going to be over. And, you know, you give the Padres a ton of credit. Darvish was a little bit shaky early, gave up 3 home runs. One of them obviously shouldn't have been based on the call to Max Muncy. I know that people talked about the Freddie Freeman at bat as well. That, to me, those pitches are like, I mean, that's a tough call. I don't get on umps for pitches like that, you know. A diving fastball low and in at 96 or whatever it might have been, and maybe it ticked the zone. The Muncy call was unforgivable. It's just incredible that would happen. And then, of course, he hits the home run. But we've seen that before a little bit from Darvish, where he's shaky early, and then he finds a way to get through usually 6 innings. It didn't quite work. And that was why I also didn't have a problem with him going out for the 6th inning. I don't know how you felt about that, but I felt like, you know, he was at 88 pitches. He's Yu Darvish, and he should go out for the 6th and see what happens.
He's the only one.
Absolutely.
The only one. Bob Melvin would feel that way. He's the only one where I wouldn't even ask Bob at some point, like, hey, because that's why. That's why.
Yu Darvish goes 6 innings all the time. I mean, that's what
and,
he does.
And Yu Darvish goes 6 innings all the time. You're in a series with the Dodgers. Who's your best pitcher to be on the mound? Plus, like, you do realize you have to cover those innings when Yu Darvish isn't in there. Now, that's, like I said, that's the only guy that you're going to say that about. I want to point out, like, tonight's starter and tomorrow night's starter on back-to-back nights at the end of September held the Dodgers scoreless for 5 innings apiece. Right. Now, that Dodgers team was hardly interested in the season, but nonetheless, I think that's much better than you going into this saying, oh, wow, these two guys haven't done well against the Dodgers. Blake Snell held the Dodgers to no runs on 1 hit. And the next night, Joe Musgrove, who has not been very good against the Dodgers by and large, held them to no runs on, I believe, 4 hits. That was September 27th and 28th. I think over the next 2 nights, I think they would do well to try to win the series. I'm being somewhat facetious. Of course they are going to, but you get to game 5 and you're looking at Urías again. Can't count on another 3 runs off of Urías. And then you don't know, moreover, you don't know who you're pitching in game 5.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to get to that a little bit later, that the next 2 nights are so big for the Padres, because there are many, many reasons not to want to go to a game 5, starting with the fact it's game 5 and you never know what can happen. If you can end it before game 5, obviously you want to do that. But the Padres are in the position, the Dodgers at least would be in the position, they would be going home, they would have their best pitcher. The Padres would not have their best pitcher or anywhere close to it. I haven't looked up Darvish's record on 3 days rest. He was certainly extended the other night pitching. Maybe he'd be good for a couple of innings, but you're not going to get 6 inning Yu Darvish if you go on short rest. Clevenger has not been good against the Dodgers this year. Sean Manaea has not been good against the Dodgers. I don't know what Reese Kinnear and Ryan Weathers are doing right now. Or which
pitcher you're going to take off the roster next series if you do.
Yeah,
it. I mean, obviously, exactly. It would be about advancing, but you're not taking these guys off the roster for Max Scherzer, right? He's not going to You can't do Jacob deGrom in like the Eli Manning going to Penn State outfit. You're not, that's not what you're doing here. So.
Yeah, so that's not a situation that Padres want to find themselves in.
Not going to Game 5, the reasons to not go to a Game 5 start with, how do I pack for Los Angeles if they go to a Game 5, okay?
Well, it'd be great because you don't know if you're going to be coming home the next day or coming home for an offseason, coming home for games, because if the Padres were to play the Phillies,
they're going home for games.
It would start Tuesday night at Petco Park. So, yeah.
If they're playing the Braves, it's starting in Atlanta.
It means you're flying to Atlanta. But, yeah, as long as we get the important things taken care of, what is Kevin going to pack? How will he fit everything into his suitcase?
Let's be honest. I did not take enough underwear on this trip. And there must have been – I took enough clothes, but I didn't take enough underwear and ended up having to wash it in the shower in Los Angeles because there must have been something subconsciously, if I'm being coming clean here – that I didn't think I was going to LA.
That'll teach you, you know.
I just wanted to be honest. It was burning me. You know, that must have been it. I had enough clothes, but I looked in there. I didn't have enough underwear. So here we are, though, where I don't know, Jay, that the complexion of this really changed. For this to have still been a series, it had to be 1-1. We've discussed that. You still got to win two more games against the Dodgers.
Absolutely. I looked this up. I looked up last night, and I should have made a note of it, but the Dodgers got swept in a series by the Giants this year, games 58, 59, and 60. So that was back whenever, in late June, probably. And I believe that they lost three in a row, only two other times the rest of the season. I'm sorry. They lost three in a row once. It was August 31, September 1 against the Mets, and September 2 against the Padres. And then in the final week of the season, they lost three in a row when they couldn't have cared less about any of those games. That's a long time to go without losing three in a row. In fact, during that time, they only take away that three-game losing streak in the late August, September, where obviously they lost three out of four on either side of it. They only lost three out of four two other times during that time. So even if you were thinking about, you know, the Padres going five and winning, the Padres are still up against it in this series. The odds are certainly not as long as they were when you and I last spoke, because now it's a best of three. Two of the three are in San Diego. I don't know if that's good or bad. The way the Padres played at Petco this year, a lot of times that's not so good. As Tom Krasnick pointed out in his piece this morning, where he said he doesn't think the Padres should be underdogs, he said it's going to be cool this weekend, at least certainly by October standards in San Diego. It's going to be in the 60s. Ball does not fly as far in colder weather. So that shouldn't be an issue, like they're playing, you know, like they'd be playing 1 o'clock day games in August or something. So there's all kinds of things we can talk about. It comes down, as always, to finding a way to stop the Dodger lineup. Darvish did that well enough the other night. And then the bullpen, I mean, what can you say about the Padre bullpen the first two nights? I mean, they've been incredible. Guys we talked about that, you know, maybe they wanted to avoid all came up big in the first game, gave the Padres a chance at least to make a game out of that. Then the guys that you do want to see, Robert Suarez, who's just been, you know, we've talked over and over again about how great he's been over most of the season, if you get past those first couple of outings or a couple of his outings he had early. And, you know, Nick Martinez, and obviously Hader coming in for a rare four-out save. You can't do any better than the bullpen's done for the Padres. I will say the Dodger bullpen's been really good as well. We're going to see a lot of the Dodger bullpen the next couple of nights, particularly tonight. But the Dodger bullpen has been great. They gave up one unearned run. The only earned run was given up by Blake Treinen. A little bit iffy whether Treinen should be in a high leverage situation coming off the injured list like that. But, you know, Cronenworth took care of a run there. But that's it. So, I mean, the bullpens for both teams have been phenomenal so far.
Absolutely. No, you bring up coming off the injured list a little bit different, but this isn't Tony Gonsolin, Cy Young Award candidate from April and May that the Padres are going to be facing tonight. I mean, look, Tony Gonsolin come out and throw five shutout innings in 75 pitches that he's allowed to have. So we'll see. The Padres have done a magnificent job. Every pitcher they faced, even Jacob deGrom, their attack against them, their plan against them, be it go after them quick and put the ball in play because that's what you're going to do, or make guys throw pitches. The Padres have been good actually at that since that meeting in Arizona, you know? They'll do their best to once again make the bullpen work tonight.
Right. The thing with Gonsolin is, real quick, he was, even before he was Cy Young candidate, Tony Gonsolin, the Padres never hit the guy. He was always that guy. You're like, wow.
He was one of those magic Dodgers, right?
Like, right. Yeah. He'd come in and they might use an opener, and then Tony Gonsolin would come in the second or third inning and throw four or five innings. They wouldn't touch him. Yep. They didn't touch him twice this year, I believe, when he pitched against him. So whatever he's got, he's still Tony Gonsolin, and I would expect the Padres to have trouble against him tonight, for whether it's four innings or whatever it is. And then, you know, look, I'm wondering, I was talking about this yesterday with someone who's a Dodger fan, and we were saying, we've got to think that Dustin May has to be first out of the bullpen, because why else would Dustin May have been put on the roster if it wasn't to piggyback with Gonsolin? It's the only move. It's the only thing that makes sense. Probably means it won't happen, but I've just got to think that Dustin May would be the guy that if he's on the roster, they want him to pitch. This is the opportunity where he comes in tonight. And look, if Gonsolin's in trouble early, maybe Dustin May's in the third inning or the fourth inning. Yep. But I would be surprised if we don't see Gonsolin for three or four, and then May for a couple, and then they get into their some of their other guys. And look, they have a lot of relief pitchers who are really good. I mean, was it Almonte the other night? How tough did that guy look?
And we're talking about
like having to hit Phillips
and Alex like Bessia Suarez. And yeah. Monty was, whoa.
Yeah, that must be what it's like for other teams to see Suarez come in. Oh, go, wow. This guy's throwing 101, you know, diving all over the place or whatever. How are we going to hit this guy? So, you know, and look, the Dodgers made a couple mistakes the other night, and the Padres have played more clean in the couple games. They have to continue to do that. They need to put the ball in play with a runner on third. It didn't happen with one at bat the other night, I think, with Drury, but then it did happen with Cronenworth, if I got that right.
Yes.
And Cronenworth hit the ground ball that got a run in. They need to do
really
that kind
good
of
at bat.
That kind of, yeah, that was a great at bat. That's the kind of thing they need to continue to do. And then, you know, they need guys like Machado to step up and hit a home run. You know, they could, I know we talk about this guy a lot. I know it feels like I'm probably picking on him, but my God, Juan Soto has one hit and one walk, I think. They still need something from Juan Soto.
Without a doubt. I mean, if you look back, let's say they don't win this series and he has a couple more singles, right? It goes another two, goes three games and he has three singles and he walks again. But there were some times where obviously every time he comes up, he could hit a home run. But there were times he could have driven in runs, multiple runs or whatever, done like he did in New York, which is still a grounder down the line. Yeah, I think we're going to look back and it'll have been a disappointing postseason. Even if he has a 380 on base percentage, I think that it will be just like you have to look back and say that his 2 months here were disappointing. And I will once again say, in no way would that make me as a baseball watcher less excited to see Soto or Tatis Soto Machado next year. And what Juan Soto can contribute to this team over the course of a season, and a season where he didn't have two sets of new coaching staffs, uncertainty all the time, move across the country, and all that. I will look forward to that. But yes, without a doubt, so far it has been disappointing as to, you know, the man who's talked about as 500 million man, the man who's talked about as Ted Williams, the man who's talked about as being a game changer, certainly has been disappointing. Manny Machado has made this series as much his series as anyone's, and certainly better and more of a presence than he was for at least the first couple games of the Mets series. Right. One thing I want to say about Dustin May, that's nasty, but that doesn't give the Padres the shakes like it would have earlier. We basically Correct. Would have said, we don't need to show up. We can write this from somewhere else if you're saying Gonsolin May in a couple previous years. But the Padres have done well against May. There's a reason May isn't in the starting rotation or, you know, hasn't been used yet or whatever. There's that said, as Jay pointed out about Gonsolin, Dustin May is filthy. And, you know, this is going to be tough here. But also, it's the postseason. Look, if the Padres are going to win three in a row, it's because they're going to continue to play and pitch as they have so far here in the postseason. All it takes in the postseason is a pocket. There is no other way to decide the baseball championship except for to have like another half of a regular season. Right. Okay, baseball's unfair, Dodgers. Sorry, if you lose this, you were still the best team, right? And the Padres worked. But you know, the Padres would be going on. All you need to have is pockets. This is without a doubt, it may be the best pocket of baseball they played all year, but it's in the top three of one and a half week windows that the Padres have played all year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it's interesting. We mentioned Soto. You know, Mookie Betts is 1-for-8 in the series. It's you know, it's a couple games. I mean, the greatest players ever have series where they don't hit. It's one reason October stuff is so it's overblown in different ways. I mean, it's overblown.
It's so wonderfully overblown.
Right. That's a good way to put it. I mean, the Dodgers have gotten production from all the guys in the order after Mookie, and but what they haven't done is gotten big hits. And that's where the Padres have excelled in keeping them off the board. I mean, Trey Turner has 3 hits. Freeman has 2. Will Smith has 3. Muncy has 3. Gavin Lux has 3. You would expect with all that the Dodgers would have scored more than 8 runs in the 2 games. But the Padres did a great job of keeping them off the scoreboard in certain situations. And that's what this is about. It's finding ways to scrape runs here and there, occasionally hit a home run, and finding ways to keep the other team, frustrate the other team in the big situations. And the Padres have done that. They've gotten 3 hits from Machado, 3 from Cronenworth, a couple from Profar, a couple from Kim. You know, those are the kind of guys where you need them to come through, and you need guys to hit in the right spots and take advantage of certain situations. And then you can't make mistakes. You know, you can't bunt toward third base when the pitcher's there. It was a great play by Gratterall, but the bunt needs to go the other way. You can't strike out with a runner at third and a runner in less than 2 outs. Those kind of things are the things you look back on.
Which is why the beauty of Cronenworth's at bat when he goes down 0-2 right after that strikeout you're talking about, because that's something they haven't done. And in particular against the Dodgers, you pay for those mistakes. And look, they haven't allowed the number 9 hitter to kill him, and being Bellinger the last 2 nights. It won't be tonight. There's so many things that it looked like it could have fallen apart. And I called it one of the more intense games you'll ever see. And certainly the Padres haven't been in a lot of playoff games. But part of that intensity was fans, first off, and second off, that it was the Dodgers. And the Dodgers were down by 1 or 2 runs for multiple innings. And you're like, I mean, it's the Dodgers who can, every time they put one person on base, the possibility of 2 runs one pitch later is right there. And it didn't happen. And it was magnificent by Padres pitchers.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's always, I mean, I can't tell you how many Dodger games I watched this year. Like, even after the Padres would finish and I would flip over to the Dodgers, who, of course, were always playing later and playing longer. And they, you know, they would be trailing somebody like 4-2 in the 8th inning or something, or the 7th inning, and be like, oh, they're going to win. You know, they put a guy on. It's like, oh, they're going to have 3 runs soon enough. And that's the kind of stuff that they did. And that's where the other day, I mean, what Robert Suarez did was so huge for the Padres. And basically, you know, season saving. One of the things that saved the season is Suarez in that inning. I mean, if the Padres were able to move on, that's going to be a moment, you know, when I tell you we need to write 10 moments, big moments of the season, that's a big moment of the season. Suarez in that spot right there.
And let me tell you, if we look back and you know, at some point here, you're going to tell the folks that we'll see you on Tuesday. We'll talk on Tuesday, be it here or, you know, I'm in Atlanta or I guess there's a couple options here. Season over, we're playing the Phillies. Anyway, we're going to talk on Tuesday. We'll do another podcast. So you'll be looking back or looking ahead. And if it's looking ahead and this team keeps advancing, look, there's still going to be things to talk about that you know, free agents that are leaving more than I think people think, guys that can opt mm-hmm. out, you know, questions and holes in this lineup. You know, Trent Grisham did still hit 184, even if he hits three bombs tonight. I mean, there's things, but there are also things that went really well, like getting Robert Suarez, all right? Yep. Like getting all these starting pitchers so that this bullpen was not destroyed by October. I mean, yep. there are a lot of things that maybe it didn't live up to what we thought it could or arguably it should have. Take out Tatis. Just, you know, maybe this team still should have been better, right? But there's a lot of things A.J. Preller did and his staff that worked out pretty much exactly like they wanted to, like get to the tournament and things can happen, right?
And I think Melvin was like that as well. There were times where I think fans in particular were frustrated that it felt like he wasn't managing to win that particular game, that it was more, hey, if we win, it's great, but I'm not pulling out all the stops to win this game. Obviously, he's not trying to lose. That's not what I meant. Right. But he's managing in a way where he has the big picture in mind. And he was confident, even in September, there were games where it was like, wow, they kind of gave that game away there. But he was confident that they were going to make the playoffs. And once they made the postseason, he wanted to make sure that the bullpen was not fried and the pitchers were not fried. And I think that's where he deserves a lot of credit, because these guys appear, at least right now, to be pretty fresh. And the off day yesterday was obviously big for both teams. I mean, the Dodgers didn't have to pitch yesterday either. So, you know, we'd expect tonight that pretty much every reliever on both teams is available.
Except for the email that I got when Josh Hader was put in saying that Melvin was desperate and that has Melvin not watched Hader pitch. Except for that one, the emails that I get in the postseason are not all that different than the emails that I get mid-game in the regular season, except they're appropriate now.
Yeah,
because you are managing to win every game.
Exactly.
I hope that some people are looking at that and going, oh, wow, this is the difference between July, right, and October. And it's funny because I'm basically saying, don't get all that worked up over the, you know, these 162 games they want you to pay for. You know, but this is incredibly different. It's the difference between the regular and the post in baseball is just monumental.
Yeah. I also did get one. I got a tweet from someone. I don't get the emails like you get. Or maybe I've blocked people. I don't know. But I get tweets from people, one the other night, that said that Melvin blew game one by, after Machado and Soto had reached base, on the walk and the 40-foot single. How weird was that? Machado hit a ball in the dirt and it went back to the ground.
Real nice at bat, real fortunate hit.
Exactly. And Melvin had blown the game by not having the Padres' cleanup hitter sacrifice in that situation. Thought that was interesting that you were going to be bunting from the cleanup spot. Number one, Brandon Drury has never had a sacrifice bunt in his career. So you're not going to take him out to then bring in somebody else who sacrificed. They did pinch hit with Josh Bell, who also has as many sacrifice bunts in his career as you and I do, Kevin. So we're not bunting in the sixth inning or in any inning with the cleanup people at bat. We have seen both Soto and there was a Dodger who bunted the other day as well that I was surprised. That I'm surprised at. So I don't know. One thing about Soto
at the time and going, I bet you he did that on his own too. Yes.
Yeah. One thing about Soto, and I'm looking forward to seeing him next year as well with Tatis. And by the way, another game burned off of the suspension now with at least seven in the postseason.
I believe we're back for the entire Cubs series at this point.
Yeah. At the end of April. But one thing I would not do with Soto is commit anything long term.
You got to see another year.
In this offseason, they got to see a year before anybody thinks.
Well, there's no danger in that happening, because that's what the Padres' stance would be. And his agent is Scott Boras. And Juan Soto turned down the $415 million. So there's no chance whatsoever of anything happening this offseason.
Right. Game four, real quick. Musgrove, it'd be a great moment for him to be out there pitching in San Diego in a postseason game, and especially with everything that happened in New York, that'll be fun.
I would save this, Jay. I would save this, but I know that Joe is going to be speaking to the media, so he's gonna talk about it. But
yeah,
Joe Peavy, they're the same guy. Joe Musgrove has met Jake Peavy one time when he was like 12 years old and got his autograph. Neither talked nor texted. He will meet him probably today for the first time. Like it is the coolest thing. It absolutely, Joe Musgrove was the kind of guy who got autographs. He was the kind of guy who, when he grew up, like all the rest of us in San Diego, thinking, you know, Sean Burroughs was going to be the next big thing. You know, and now here's Joe Musgrove as one of five, you know, nine figure guys on this team. Yeah. Right. And he grew up going to sporting goods stores and card shops to get the autographs of these guys that, you know, and it's like, and now Jake Peavy, his hero, is going to throw out the first pitch wearing 44, but with Musgrove's name on the back. I mean, you don't get very often where not only is there this story, but the athlete lets us see how important it is to him.
No, that's very cool. And I am also going to assume that someone will be writing that people will be able to read about that online later
today. Well, that's where I said I would have saved it. But look, in like 2 hours, it's going to be, everyone's going to have it. So
Exactly. No, that's great. A bonus for those listening live, get the bonus. So no, that's great. Tyler Anderson on the other side has been very good all year. He's won, I don't know, 15, 16 games. He pitched really well against the Padres, especially his last time out, we mentioned on the last podcast. So this, by no means will any of this be easy, but it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be tense and nerve-wracking and nail-biting and all that stuff. And I'm sure the next two nights, you know, there'll be 90,000 people in the between the two games in the East Village and in all the places around that and around the city. And look, this is fun. This is supposed to be fun. I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope everybody acts reasonably and, you know, stay safe. Don't do stupid stuff.
Don't end up on those viral videos like those Dodger fans.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be that. You don't want to be that person. But
here's what I hope, Jay. And it's been a little rough to want to say, put out on social media or something, these types of things, because it does feel like some members of the media have lost their minds in terms of becoming Padres fans, and we're not, right?
Yeah.
But Jay, you and I talk here a lot about being fans of good baseball. And here's what I hope for the Padres, that they get to experience an incredible crowd. I think that's a given. I hope the fans get to experience a game like the other night.
Yeah.
Like they would love if the Padres are up 7-0 in the second, but sure, not where the Dodgers come in and just say, as they have for most of the last two seasons, since the Padres even became something like a fly on the side of their face, they let the Padres win one and then they squash them. Right. Now, this is the postseason. I don't expect it to happen, but it could. I hope that doesn't happen, because I would love for the fans to experience true playoff baseball. It was one of the great things, because if they'd come back 0-2, I think there would have been a lot more Dodger fans tonight. And I think there would have been a vibe in the building, like Padres fans were just waiting for the end of the season. And now it's going to be a vibe like, our team can win this.
Right. Right. No, I think that's true. And even if the Padres lose tonight, there's still tomorrow. And with Musgrove on the mound and everything, I mean, by no means is anything lost for either team. If tonight, and by the same token, if the Padres win tonight, it'll be incredible tomorrow night, with the idea, here's Musgrove pitching, Peavy's out there, and the Padres have a chance to not only advance, but to do it by beating the Dodgers. So
you know what I told Musgrove when he said he's going to be geeked up for this game? I said, uh-oh, dude, you better keep that spin rate down.
You better watch those. How red are his ears going to be if he's going to be even more geeked up for this for this game? So anyway, wherever you're watching the game this weekend, enjoy it. We're hoping it's a lot of fun for everyone. And as Kevin said, we will be back with you on Tuesday morning. And we could be talking the end of the season, or we could be talking Padres Braves or Padres Phillies. All those options are on the table, and we'll see you then.
Thanks, everybody.